Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing great today, too. Thanks for asking. And we'd like to thank you all for tuning in. Today in the Voice of Yoga, we will talk about the mystical I Am as the open door of divine revelation. Listen as we explain why only reason walks through the spiritual gap between error and truth. In this show, we will explain the difference between no self, personal self, and divine one self. From John 10, 1 to 2, I'll quote, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." End of quote. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are Talking Consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and walk through the open door of revelation. Swami, I see the title of today's show is, I Am is the Door. Let's talk about that for a few minutes. What does that mean?
Yeah, the door is the realization there is only one perfect divine life, omnipresent. And the peace that comes with knowing this is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And like the Beatles said, let it be. Now, we keep in mind the Good Shepherd parable is the 10th chapter in the book of John, and there are 9 lessons which must be understood before we qualify to walk reason through the open door of revelation. And so the I Am is what Mary Baker Eddy called the divine revelation, the revelation of divine egoism, the realization that there is only one being, looking at itself, as itself, of itself, to itself. And to start to understand exactly what this looks like when I'm doing it, because we have to be very careful that it's not just a denial of a personal sense of self that will enable us to understand ourselves spiritually. We have to separate from being individualized from the world mind. Individual is an interesting word meaning not separated or not divisible. In this model, we use it to distinguish what we are attached to. Do we draw from the visible and tangible world of matter? Or do we draw from the invisible and tangible world of energy, also called mortal mind? Or do we draw from the invisible and intangible world of spirit? In other words, do we sow to the flesh or do we sow to the spirit? Am I not separated from the world mind, living under the government of material law, karmic law? Or am I not separated from divine mind, living under the government of divine law? Now, in her book, Science and Health with Key to the Scripture, on page 115, Mary Baker Eddy talks about the scientific translation of mortal mind, and she lays it out in 3 degrees. The first degree is physical. The second degree is moral, and the third degree is spiritual. This process in human development unfolds in 3 phases. It corresponds with the hero's journey, the separation, the journey, the return. the more we understand our role as a personal sense of self in this developmental process, and what are the things I can do to facilitate this process, because this is what I think is missing in the spiritual communities in general. We don't understand the process, the caterpillar, the chrysalis, the butterfly, going from being individualized by the world mind, where we're really not much better than an animal. We're reactive, we're emotional, and we're instinctual. And we have to separate from this. I like the term that Mary Baker Eddy uses, moral, because when we separate from being individualized from the world mind, we become what we call human intelligent. We reach the age of reason, where we're now able to make decisions based on information that is in accordance with universal order, this divine principle that we're all trying to attune ourselves to. But like we say, only reason walks through the open door of revelation. The idea of no self won't get you where your thought has now been educated up to spiritual apprehension. And so we have to individualize and reconnect to this more reliable, more dependable resource called spirit, the invisible, intangible omnipresence. And again, all of this has an evidence procedure.
So you're talking about a process, and we have spoken in other radio shows about the books of John, and we can look at those books of John as the process. Would you mind reviewing that?
Herb Fitch in Realization of Oneness, Class 11A, explains the Good Shepherd within and suggests we look at the book of John as a series of lessons, which I understand to be the stages of development laid out for humanity. The book starts with John's rendition of the Transfiguration, when Jesus took John, Peter, and James to the mountaintop where Moses and Elijah appeared. He writes, I'll read it, verses 3-5. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. End of quote. So that kind of gives you the overview of what it's all about. Then, of course, he goes into John the Baptist, introduces Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He baptizes with Spirit. John the Baptist baptizes with water, a sign to graduate from mental material to spiritual, and what this journey looks like as one steps through the veils of the conditioned mortal mind. Now, to signify some of this, John and Andrew leave John the Baptist and follow Jesus, a sign of graduating from human intellect to spiritual truth. The next chapter, we see the wedding of Cana. The idea of the wedding is the joining of mortal mind with the living waters of spirit. The changing of water to wine shows in order to be free from sin, a transformation is necessary. Chapter 3, Jesus tells Nicodemus in John 3, 5 and 6, I'll read it. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. This is really important information. It's a big difference when I draw from fear and limitation and I draw from truth and wholeness. There are two very different life streams. This mental material concept is dualistic. And like attracts like. If we draw from fear and limitation, that's what we become. Well, we have to separate from that and now draw from this invisible, intangible, divine omnipresence. And in the fourth chapter, Jesus at the well of Samaria, in order to be born of spirit, Christ must appear in consciousness. Then Jesus heals the nobleman's son who is sick, demonstrating the omnipresence of the divine principle in consciousness, changes the mental image everywhere, always. Chapter 5, Jesus reveals the truth about the mortal mind projections. I'll read John 2:3. Now there is at Jerusalem, by the sheep market, a pool, which is called in Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. End of quote. He asks the cripple, will you be made whole? Then tells him to rise. Then take up your bed and walk. This is all symbolism about Jesus trying to tell us being crippled, blind, crippled, crazy, sickness, suffering, disease only takes place in this corporeal sense concept of the divine creation, that spirit is functioning right where this mortal mind is presenting an imitation, an imposter, its own recreation of it. In chapter 6, Jesus feeds the 5,000, proving the omnipresence of the divine principle functioning where the five corporeal senses see nothing. And chapter 7, Jesus confronts the Pharisees with their ignorance of the law of Moses. Jesus came to fulfill the law by demonstrating the divine principle, and the Pharisees didn't understand that. They were working with concepts and theories. They were missing the message of Moses, which is really where collectively we are today. We believe in matter. We believe in mortality. But what we're missing is the truth. Life is perfect. It's whole. It's complete. And then in chapter 8, Jesus forgives the adulteress by showing the nothingness of evil. In that same chapter, there's that whole scene where ye are your father, the devil. He tells them they're accepting the wrong self, and that before Abraham was, I am. And then in chapter 9, Jesus reveals the nothingness of blindness, where he heals the blind man and tells him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. And basically, he's telling us, with our corporeal sense eyes, we see what isn't there, but we're blind to what is there, the divine creation, the perfection of being. And so as you start to look at this stuff from a broader sense of understanding, you begin to realize there are things that we can and we must do in order to walk reason through this open door of revelation. If we are still being controlled by the world mind, the dynamics of addictive, compulsive behavior, violence, emotionality, these are all indicators we aren't even at the level capable of receiving the truth.
It's so interesting to me that these books of John kind of lay out, you know, a process for us to understand. And then I was reminded, even stories like fables and mythology are not just stories, but we're supposed to learn something from them.
Yeah, they're what we call symbolic languages. They're giving tangibility to that which is mental, which is invisible but tangible, but also spiritual, that which is invisible and intangible.
We're going to pause right here to hear a word from our sponsors. Listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments. Kriya Yoga Asana Class is a module fitting into the master plan leading the practitioner to the experience of total consciousness by attuning the mind-body complex to the divine idea, a system of exercises designed to use the physical appearance to determine individual level of consciousness and degree of awareness, starting with the process of lengthening and strengthening muscles to bring bones into the position of internal support. We educate thought up to spiritual apprehension, because when spirit is cause, it calls into expression the beauty of holiness, making creation perfect. Mountain pose may not bring you truth in consciousness, but truth in consciousness must bring mountain pose. Visit the website www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste. Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So Swami, you reviewed for us the process that's laid out in the books of John, but I believe Mary Baker Eddy also talks about a process in this human development.
Yeah, well, she did when she talked about scientific translation of mortal mind. Once she lays that down from physical, moral, and spiritual, she then begins to lay out the reasoning that leads to the mystical eye. I have some of her words from Science and Health with Key to the Scripture, and I'll read some of it. Here on page 116, 24 to 31. As the words person and personal are commonly and ignorantly employed, they often lead, when applied to deity, to confused and erroneous conceptions of divinity and its distinction from humanity. If the term personality, as applied to God, means infinite personality, then God is infinite person. In the sense of infinite personality, but not in the lower sense, an infinite mind in a finite form is an absolute impossibility. End of quote. Right, again, we have to transform. We have to come out of the belief in a finite mortal sense of self. And she also has more here on page 117, and I'll read it. The term individuality is also open to objections, because an individual may be one of a series, one of many, as an individual man or an individual horse, whereas God is one, not one of a series, but one alone and without an equal. End of quote. Yeah, to really start to understand what she's talking about, one being, one perfect divine life, you can't grasp that with this finite mortal mind we are accepting to get us through this lifetime. So we have to think differently. We have to transform. We have to graduate from thinking with five material senses and have this birth of Christ in consciousness. And what is that going to look like when you're doing it? Because if you don't have an evidence procedure to this, you will continue to work with the mind that can't bring forth the divine image.
So Swami, when she's talking about an individual may be one of a series, so she's trying to tell us not to look at each other as, you know, you and me and them or anything in our physical senses. So we have to understand that God is all. Is that basically what she's trying to get us to realize?
Yeah, not only just God is all. It's not just a statement. It is to ask in my name. The idea that we must accept spiritual identity. We have to know ourselves in the way that we are known by the Creator, which is spirit. And spirit is out of time. It's not now and then. It's always. It's out of space. It's not here and there. It's everywhere. It's beyond concept and form, belief and matter. It is beyond human thinking. It's beyond movement, change, beyond human will and personal sense. We have to realize at some point that we're hypnotized and we have to awaken into this larger sense of self. And in order to do that, you have to put off the false sense of self. But you don't just dismiss it, you have to master it before you can actually surrender it to this larger sense of self. And a big part of that is a path of action, things you can and you must do, a path of knowledge, things you must know about yourself and the universe. Also, a sense of devotion, dedication, determination to your initial belief that the divine principle is running a perfect universe.
Well, I have another question for you. When she talks about an infinite mind in a finite form as an absolute impossibility, I think some of us that have maybe started on this spiritual path think that through meditation and thinking and good works and things like that, that we can bring God down to us. And I think actually that it has to be the other way. We have to lift ourselves up to this divine mind, to God. Would that be correct?
Yeah, I think you're 100% right. It kind of reminds me of when you're on a boat and somebody throws you a rope because you're trying to dock the boat. Now, when you grab the rope, you're not pulling the dock to the boat. You're pulling the boat to the dock. And in a very similar way, like you say, we have to rise to meet this divine stream of being. And that's process. You don't just declare that I'm spiritual. I am one with everything. We have to graduate into spiritual identity. Jesus has already told us we have to be born again of water and the Spirit. I have something else here that we could read from Mary Baker Eddy, page 117, 24 to 28. Evidence dawned from the five physical senses relates solely to human reason. And because of opacity to the true light, human reason dimly reflects and feebly transmits Jesus' works and words. Truth is a revelation. End of quote. Right, but very important to understand that only reason walks through the open door of revelation. And then this Good Shepherd parable, I am the door. He that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. Okay, this is very important symbolism that Jesus is giving us. Unless you have this revelation, unless you understand there is only one life, one perfect divine life, then you're a thief or a robber. So the mental material concept of life, matter and mind, are the thief and the robber. In this same parable, he also tells us about the hireling, which again is another way of talking about someone who is not realizing the truth, somebody who is still working with the mind that can't bring forth the divine image. And it's frustrating because only the good shepherd has the command of the sheep. Now, the sheep are the divine qualities. Peace, love, joy, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, patience, temperance. But until you have accepted yourself to be spirit and not a spirit, not one of many spirits, but the one perfect divine truth is the light of your being. You are a reflection of an indestructible principle. And understand yourself to be so, then the sheep don't follow you because you're a thief or a robber.
So when you mentioned about accepting our divine selves, but we have to go even more and deeper than that, right? Because we're talking about a process and a procedure that has to be in place for this acceptance to take place, right?
Yeah, we have to qualify. We have to separate from the influence of the five material senses before we can be a faithful witness to the divine idea, the truth of being. And at the same time, we come out of the mind that can't bring forth the divine image, and we activate our seven spiritual senses, which then know the truth. And this is all symbolism, but there is an actual experience. I love the term Mary Baker Eddy uses, to think with God as God, which is very different than what she's talking about here, human reason. It doesn't see the divine creation, doesn't know the truth. And if we don't develop human will, which will enable us to begin to separate from being individualized from the world mind, then we will continue to live out from this mental material belief into powers, which drives the false sense of existence. We will live in fear. Fear is a defense mechanism for the false sense of self. In spirit, there are no needs. Spirit is complete, whole, fulfilled. And if you are in the Father's house, if you are in divine consciousness, if you love God, you love the invisible, intangible, divine omnipresence with your heart, your soul, your mind, then you are under the protection of that divine law. But if you are still being controlled by the instincts and appetites of your physical body, you can rest assured you have not individuated, you have not separated from that influence. And so, again, there's a process and there's an evidence procedure that accompanies this process that we must educate ourselves up to and then execute it.
And then when we believe in something other than God, what you're talking about, then we have other things that we believe in, like you said, fear, which comes from our belief in karma or fate or luck. Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yeah, what we call luck is really a glimpse of divine truth influencing human thought, externalizing as an appearance. When we say that was lucky, we're saying, I, of my own self, didn't do it. We have words like karma, fate, luck, but from the mortal perspective, there can be good luck or bad luck, good karma or bad karma. Now, divine truth, on the other hand, is absolute goodness and can only be good. The intention of a spiritual practice is to become conscious of the divine creation by dissolving the belief in the two powers entirely, coming out of the belief in matter, in a temporary life. And there's really only one way this goes right. It's not no self. It's not personal self. It is I am the door. It is one being, one perfect divine life. And to accept that as the I of all being, not me, not you, that we are one.
Well, it is that time to close down our show for today. So listeners, be sure to visit the website, www.ipdtransform.com. On any of the pages, when you scroll down, you'll see several buttons there that you can click on to further your understanding. Swami, any final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I would like to encourage people to join the Kri Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and walk through the open door of revelation. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.